Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Capitals Report for November 30th. John and Mike with you here as the final show of November upon us and the one-quarter mark of the season behind us as the Caps getting ready for the New York Islanders tomorrow night. Let's talk a little bit about one quarter through. It is kind of that first, you know, the kids come home from school with the report cards here. That's about where we are the first time with the progress and things that have gone well. And on the subject of things that have gone well, I think you probably have to start with Braden Holtby, a guy who picked up right where he left off last year after winning a Vezina Trophy, has kept Washington in games that even some nights they didn't belong in, and he's probably the biggest consistent night in and night out mark for success through the first quarter.
I would agree with that, John. He's, like you say, coming into last season, he had just gotten that big contract extension. So, and he was coming off a great season, too. And I remember asking him, like, so, you know, how do you stay motivated? What keeps you going here? He was like, we got a lot of things to accomplish. And every day, every one of us can keep getting better. And this guy's pretty much gone out and walked the walk for, a year and a quarter now since we had that conversation. And Phil Grubauer, too, you know, the games that he started, he's given them a chance to win every night. And I think that's, we always hear about building from the net out. And when you've got that foundation back there, there's two guys that you know are going to give you a chance to win every night. It makes it easier to get through patches where the rest of your game isn't up to snuff, as we've seen through the first 21 games.
Yeah, season. Without a doubt. And other things that have gone well, or at least on pace, and I think you've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, where the Caps record is. It's a little bit behind where it was, but a little bit behind from a President's Trophy season is certainly not seemingly a huge issue in terms of wins and losses at this point. And a lot of things, Ovechkin's goal pace, pretty much where it would be from a year ago and throughout most of his career. Andre Burakovsky, I thought it was funny. I was talking with Tarik El-Bashir in Toronto before the game. We forget last year that Andre Burakovsky got off to a pretty awful start. He's actually ahead of pace this year, even though he hasn't had the goals, and it's been talked about a little bit. But points-wise, very much ahead of where he was a year ago. So as frustrating as it might be even for somebody like that, in terms of point production, he's about where he was a year ago.
I think what's interesting to me is if you look at the Caps forwards, just looking at the forwards, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Johansson. Those are your top four forwards in terms of salary cap hits. Those are your top four forwards in terms of production as well. So those guys are getting it done up top. And then you've got some guys that are scuffling a little bit. Andre Burakovsky, two goals opening night, none since. So that's 20 games. That's a quarter of the season, basically, without scoring. But he has done other things well. And you know, talking to Justin Williams the other day, he was saying how when you're not contributing by lighting the lamp on a regularity to which you're accustomed, it's real important to make sure that the other parts of your game don't slide. And I think for the most part, most guys, you could say that they've worked pretty diligently to make sure. Justin Williams is a great example. You watch that guy. He might take a couple more minor penalties than you would like this year over last year, but you can tell he's working his bag off and he's trying to make things happen and he's getting chances. Same with Burakovsky. You got to think that eventually these chances are going to start going in. The PDO is going to start going in the other direction for these guys. We'll see, but long way to go. I think you just got to be happy that You're right there with the Rangers. Barry Trotz alluded to it the other day, too, saying, hey, look at these guys. They're having a great year. I'm real impressed with the way they're playing.
They've also got more losses. Yeah, they got more losses.
If you just keep doing what you're doing and let your foundation be your foundation, start working on some of those other areas of the game. And I like, you know, last week, having those couple of practice days, I thought they responded well coming out of those two practice days and played strong games against St. Louis and Buffalo. The Toronto game, you're going to have some of those every year, a little bit of a schedule loss. But let's see what happens tomorrow night. You're kind of on the other side of it. The Islanders are playing tonight at home against the Penguins, an 8 o'clock game too, if I'm not mistaken. So the Caps are going to have a couple of practices again this week to get ready for Tampa, the Islanders, Buffalo, Boston. And you don't really have any back-to-backs for a while, so let's see how they play here over the month of December. But I think, you know, all things considered, if somebody told you that they were going to be last in the league or right near the basement in 5-on-4 goals a quarter of the way through the season, you'd probably be a little bit worried.
Panicked, probably.
You certainly would, you know, and they're managing to, you know, get past a lot of these things. I think all things considered, you got to be happy with where they are now. You go through that room, every guy in there will tell you they've got another level they can get to. And, well, they got 60-some games to get to it.
Little bit of what I think could be a concern, and just thinking about going back to the summer and how this club was constructed, even to the end of last year, when Brian McClellan said, need to have a third-line answer to combat Pittsburgh. The offensive production, and there's probably a few reasons here. The goaltending, or the goal production of Jason Chimera, it hasn't really been found yet, at least in terms on pace to the first quarter. The Nick Bonino type guy in the middle, Lars Eller offensively, not a lot there so far. Not to say that there haven't been other things, you know, but there hasn't been a lot there. Figuring out who's going to play that right side, there's been some fluctuation there. If this is the recipe for success, if what Pittsburgh did last year was being able to roll three lines, I feel like the top two on this club, as you talked about, the offensive production's there with Backstrom, with Ovechkin, with Johansson and the like. But being able to find the combination that works in that third line. And last year for Washington, that really didn't click until January. So it's not like it's not panic time by any means for that. But a little bit as you get into the second quarter of the season here, maybe something to keep an eye on.
Oh, absolutely, John. I think that's one of the things that they've got to find a way to build that up between now and midseason, end of the season. If that means pulling a guy or two up from Hershey and giving them a look and seeing what they can do, I think that's certainly something that's going to be on the table. Let's not forget, too, last year at this time was sort of when this team heated up. There was a 9-game winning streak that started pretty early in December and went until New Year's Eve, I believe, when they lost to the Hurricanes in Carolina. So if you want to look at pace and you want to look at where this team was compared to last season, right now you're kind of going to be neck and neck. But this is where last year's team started to really put some distance between itself and the rest of the pack. Not to say that they couldn't do the same thing this year. The schedule's not quite as favorable. We've said that all along. The schedule this year is pretty ugly. There's a lot of stuff in there that's going to make life a lot more difficult for this team as the season wears on. But I think there's only one set of back-to-backs between now and Christmas, maybe one after that. The schedule, the worst part of December's schedule, as you well know, is the plethora of one-game road trips.
Yes.
And the fact that starting on December 20th, and for about 2 weeks, you're going to play 8 games where you're alternating one at home, one on the road, one at home, one on the road. One game homestand, one game road trip, that just makes you want to put a drill in your head. So that's the worst part of it.
And going to the plane again, are we?
So exactly. We'll see how that goes. But
on the subject of schedule and big picture, there's no doubt there's some big uglies coming up. By the time you get there's the post-Christmas stretch, very busy, very intense, playing the Devils a couple times, have all the respect in the world for the Devils, what they've done. This stretch right now, when you talk about pulling ahead, the New York Islanders are at the bottom of the league, and you're going to see them, what, 3 times this month? The Buffalo Sabres are dead last in scoring. You've got them multiple times this month after seeing there. You've got Carolina coming up. On any given night, as strong as the NHL is, and Barry Trotz talked about it this week, any
Absolutely
team can come up
true.
And bite you. But in this little stretch, if there is any pull-away stretch, if there's a chance to get on a roll, just statistically, just where teams are in the standings right now, this next 3 weeks is not the worst stretch.
No, you're exactly right, and I think we've all looked at that. And you know, it's Atlantic heavy too. And this team, I think the loss to Toronto was like their 5th or 6th regulation loss to an Atlantic Division opponent since
50.
Yeah, in the last 50 games, it's crazy how they've feasted off the Atlantic. And you know, like you said, you got a couple against Buffalo. You've got Boston in there. So there are some Atlantic foes coming up on the schedule. So, this is definitely a time to make some hay. The other thing is, and it sounds like we'll have Matt Niskanen back, fingers crossed for tomorrow after he left Saturday's game against the Leafs in the third period. that would be a tough blow to withstand for any length of time. TJ Oshie sounds like he's on track to come back reasonably soon, still out week to week. But they've been really fortunate in terms of injuries through the first quarter and last season as well. Let's hope that the other foot doesn't come down, you know, for a while now, like years.
Agreed with that. I do have a few questions to get to. We don't want to ramble on too much between us. We've got some from you, including Roman, asking, do you think there are any moves or trades the Caps might make with the expansion coming this year? Sure. You could probably say that for 30 teams, though, because you've got moves, whether it be with goaltenders. You can only protect one. There are going to be other teams that are going to be looking at things like that. For the Caps, is Philip Grubauer a candidate that that Vegas would look at? Yeah, a young goaltender that's got lots of upside. No doubt he would be somebody. Might there be other movement? I think without a doubt. I mean, if there's something that's there that you think, and you're balancing now with what happens with off-season, and there's a lot even surrounding the Caps as far as that goes, too. Certainly in the market, but probably no more than anybody else.
Yeah, I think they're way down on the list. The Caps are one of the fortunate teams. They don't have any contracts that they have to protect. So their protected list can be pretty organic. Now, sure, they're going to lose a good player. I think we can all see that. We can all do the math and figure out that whichever way they decide to go as far as their protected list, they're going to lose a good player. But so what do you do to avoid losing a good player? Do you trade that good player and get something lesser back? It doesn't make any sense to me. I think you're just going to accept the fact that you're going to lose a good player, mm-hmm. and you're going to need that good player to get through the playoffs and ideally to the cup final, which is what your goal is. So I think the Caps, to me, are one of those teams that's just going to, we're going to just play our hand and we'll put our discard pile down and you take whoever you want. We'll deal with it. You know, I think, let's not forget, too, that you're going to have a little bit of time, a couple of days anyway, at the end of the season, even if you go all the way to the cup final, you'll have a little bit of time before you have to submit your protected list. So you can, there'll be some movement, I would think, at that point, too, where teams at the last minute trying to make sure they get things settled and try to manipulate it to the point where they don't lose, you know, they maybe try to target who they're going to lose. Let's put it that way. So I wouldn't expect the Caps to do much.
Off Twitter, S. Fillmore, is this recent slide in quality of play a conscious attempt to keep gas in the tanks come April, May, and June? No, in short version. I think I've heard of that a little bit, and I think, Barry, in the comment you've already brought up from earlier, the NHL is as tough as it's ever been. There is no taking the foot off the gas. If you do, you're going to be where the New York Islanders are right now, and that's at the bottom of the division. Every night, bringing the best that you have. When you look at a game like Toronto, I wanted to ask you about Toronto, just from what we saw. Man, is it bright there in that maybe now, but because it's the Atlantic, you know, there's some movement and some stuff going on in Florida and all that other stuff. I mean, you know, Ottawa's jumped up and the Atlantic's a little weird to me right now, but long, big picture in Toronto, I mean, as much as Austin Matthews has been talked about, Mitch Marner to me, I can't think of the best hands on a kid that I've seen in a while from what we saw on Saturday night. He put on a show.
Yeah, not just the hands, the head and the wheels. He's a real fun package to watch. And, you know, you think back maybe 10 years ago, this guy wouldn't have gotten much of a sniff. I don't know. I think it's incredible to watch players like that. I agree with you. I think he did steal the show. And, I mean, look at, they've got, I think going into that game, they had six guys. Their top six scorers were all former first-round picks outside of Tyler Bozak, was the only exception there. And all of them were Toronto picks except for James Van Riemsdyk, who was obviously obtained in the deal with Philadelphia. But they've got their 14, 15, and 16 first-round picks in the lineup and producing in Nylander, Marner, mm-hmm. and Matthews. They're kind of where Edmonton's been, where they've got this gaggle of good young forwards coming up. They're going to need to augment the blue line a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of the same as Edmonton has needed to do. And, you know, we'll see. That's the hardest part. That's, you know, those type of players don't come available as often. But, you know, it's interesting. For years we've heard, well, John Tavares is going to run from the island to Toronto when his contract is up.
Maybe not.
Maybe they won't be able to fit that contract. These guys are all going to have their hands out at fairly similar junctures of their career. They're going to have to pay some of these guys. Maybe they got room for Tavares, but to me, if they got that kind of money to spend on a guy, you might want to shore up the blue line first.
Yeah, indeed. Caps Islanders tomorrow night. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Capitals Report.